appreciate Pastor Tony Suarez. Why don't we give him a good warm welcome here today? Amen. I'm glad you're here. We won't see him again for a little while, so enjoy this today. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's glad to be. It's good to be. Let me work on my English here. Think about everything. I'm glad to be back with you for this, at least my last visit of 25. And man, has God been good to you all. You like gossip? I do. Yes. Amen. It's okay, a little bit, you know, just, you know, healthy gossip. You all had 903 people in church last Sunday between two services. Someone said, that's not the kind of gossip I was liking. Well, this is positive gossip right here. You all had a traffic jam out on the road all the way. I mean, when I said it in the service last week, I was kidding. Like I said, man, you know, I accidentally prophesied. Police had to leave the lobby and go direct traffic out there last week. You had so many cars. I mean, God has blessed you. And blessed you. And just when you thought you got everything God could give you, he said, you need to make room because I still have more. I have more than you have room for. Amen. And so I said, why do you celebrate numbers? Well, numbers matter to God. They do. If they didn't matter, he wouldn't have put them in the book of Acts. He let us know how the church multiplied and how it grew daily. He let us know what they started with, and he let us know what it was ending up with. He told Abraham, it's going to be like the stars in the sky or the grains in the sand. And he told him to count. How about that? Numbers matter to the Lord. And so 903 people came to worship the Lord on a holiday weekend. It wasn't even a specially called service. It's not like Friends Day when we bring everyone and, you know, the dogs and all, just, you know, the extras, you know, just want to hit. It was just, it shows the hunger that people have for God in this area. And you ought to thank God every day that you're a part of that kind of a church, a growing church. Amen. A church that everybody wants to come to. A church that people will park across the street in someone else's parking lot to walk on over to be here. Amen. I just think it's wonderful. I celebrate it. Amen. Well, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Let me look at some of you all. Some of y'all are in layers today. I give you permission to get back on those fat shots that you've been taking and the pill. That's rude. Don't call them, though. Get back on your own Zimbic. Go do whatever you got to do. But as of right now, I can tell it was good to you. It was good to me, too. I'm in layers today. Amen. Glory to God. Had to let a little bit of the beard come back in just to cut. I got more chins than I did last week. And so my mother-in-law, God uses her to cook. I'm telling you what. My mother-in-law made two kinds of mashed potatoes. Yeah, God uses her in potatoes. You know, because there's those, you know, those fancy people that like them real super soft and whatever. And then there's those of us that like them chunky and clumpy. Yeah, I have so much favor with my mother-in-law. She makes me my own set of mashed potatoes. Glory to God. It was a great festival. Amen. Or holiday, whatever it was. It was wonderful. And I'm thankful to be with you today to celebrate what God's going to do. Amen. I want to go to the gospel according to St. John chapter 14 and read verse 1. And I want to share with you my heart and what I believe the Lord would speak to this house today. The book of John chapter 14 and verse 1. The Bible says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. I'm going to go on and then I'll get back to this later. For there is more than enough room in my Father's house. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. For there is more than enough room in my Father's house. I want to preach to you today from this subject. Don't worry, be happy. Lord, use me for your glory. Let everything I say be of you. Bring glory to you and confirm what you're saying to your church in this hour. I pray that you'll confirm it with the moving of your spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and everyone said, You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, in regards to my sermon title, I told him this morning, a few years ago, I met a man named John Kilpatrick. He was the pastor of Brownsville Assemblies of God, where there was a massive, massive revival in the mid-90s. And I was very honored to meet him. I was having dinner, and I was always told that when you meet important people or elders, you hush. And you, so I hushed the entire dinner. And then at the end, he came to me and he said, "I heard that you're preaching tonight." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What are you preaching about?" Well, I just went ahead and broke my whole sermon down for him. I said, "Well, I found this scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and it says that," and I got, and by the time, actually, even before I finished, he put his hand on my shoulder. He said, "Son, I was just looking for your sermon title, not the whole sermon." He said, so that's where that sermon title was inspired today. Don't worry, be happy. I really believe in my heart, with all of my heart, that God wants to visit Life Church in a very supernatural way. I prayed for you this week. I thought about you this morning. Woke up early this morning to take my daughter to the airport in Virginia Beach, and then came early this morning. And as I was praying for the service, and of course I was celebrating Thanksgiving in front of more food this morning, amen. And so as I sat in front of those biscuits and gravy and those two eggs and those four strips of bacon and that hash brown casserole, and if you can tell, I'm still hungry. As I sat in front of all of that smorgasbord and I prayed for you, I felt the Lord speak to my heart and say, "I want to visit that congregation in a very supernatural way in this coming season. I want to demonstrate my power to them. I want to visit them in the gifts of healing and the working of miracles. I want to perform unexplainable events that can only be labeled a miracle, things that are beyond the realm of human possibility, things that only I, the Lord, can make possible. But to step into that realm, they will have to step into the realm of the supernatural, they will have to step into it with me through faith and trust in me." Now, I really believe this for you. I believe that in these next, I don't want to label it weeks, months, if it's a year, I believe it could even be beyond that. I believe that you're going to receive many reports of miracles, healing, signs, and wonders. There will be supernatural occurrences that can only be God. When the story gets done, people will scratch their heads and say, "It has to be God. I mean, who else would do this?" I believe that you'll have bankers and business people and people of the community that will look and say, "It had to be God." You'll have family members that aren't serving the Lord that'll say, "I never believed in a miracle before, but that has to be a miracle." I believe that God wants to visit you in that manner. I believe that it's going to be common to hear of the supernatural healing power of God. Now, understandably, to receive those miracle reports, that means you might get some negative reports from the doctor first, okay? So let me liken it to a story, and listen, 9 a.m. didn't get this because we were still all warming up. We were still in the lull from Thanksgiving. But it reminds me of when I was pastoring in Norfolk, Virginia, and God healed a lady in our church. Her name was Sister Rosa. We had a very young congregation. Everyone was brand new, and God healed Sister Rosa from cancer. And everything that was in her before completely disappeared, completely healed, and it was a major testimony to our young congregation. And I mean, people were just dumbfounded by the miracle. But there was one man in the church. He was one of those worshipers that he'd even dance to the slow songs. I mean, that man get up there and start spinning. I mean, it would almost distract from everything else happening in the service. But that particular service, he didn't move an inch. Very awkward. And I remember getting done with the service. I went and found him. I said, "Hey, man, you doing good?" "Yeah, I'm all right." I said, "Well, what's wrong?" I said, "I've never seen you like this before." He said, "Well, it's just that Sister Rosa's testimony." I said, "That discouraged you?" He said, "No, it's not that discouraged me. I'm happy for her and stuff." He says, "I just wish I had one of those kind of, I just wish I had a big testimony." I said, what do you mean? He goes, "Well, I just wish if I had one of those big testimonies like Sister Rosa, I could travel with you." I said, you want her testimony? He said, yeah, I wish I had her testimony. I said, well, raise your hands, brother. I said, cancer come upon you. He's like, whoa. Went full-blown Karate Kid on me. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, you said you wanted her testimony. I said, oh, you don't want her fight. You just want her victory. You want the end result, but you don't want to have to go through anything. This is an awkward prophecy for someone today. You're coming out on the winning side, but you might have to walk through a valley. You might have to walk through a report. I'm not word cursing you. I'm not putting it on you. I'm preparing you that God has already prepared a healing on the other side. Don't worry about what the doctor says. Don't worry about what the bank says. The Lord says to you today, don't worry. Be happy. I've already taken care of it, and I have miracles waiting for you on the other side of the fight. I really believe he wants to visit you in a supernatural way. And it is common in our heritage, in the spirit-filled heritage, it's common to hear about what God does and how we used to move. And many of the times, even with what I'm doing today, when we want to talk about miracles, we'll have to go back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years ago. I'm telling you, he wants to do it right now. What he did 20 years ago, he wants to do it right now for you. And my job today is to encourage and to spark your faith to start looking for miracles and believing that God can do it. So people will ask the question. I just read a book this week, or at least the beginning of the book, of a man that was seeking a miracle that didn't happen at first. And he went into prayer and started inquiring of the Lord, why didn't it happen? And he said, because you're asking with no faith. You don't actually believe that I can do what you're asking me to do. Now, in this era that we're living in right now, there are wars and rumors of wars. The news yesterday was of conflict and potential warfare in Venezuela. And there's still peace talks going on in Russia and the Ukraine. And there's issues all around us, and it affects us. I'm gonna tell you, listen, I'm not trying to fight technology, okay? I really am not. But I want to tell you that your podcasters are affecting your faith. I don't know who you're listening to, but maybe ask the Holy Ghost if he wants you to keep listening to him or her. Because you got podcasters that are walking you to the cliff. And you think that this thing is over. You think that everyone's a spy. You think that everyone's a terrorist. You're even doubting your mother these days. You're like, I know. I mean, mom looked different. They have you so suspect of everyone that you've lost your ability to have trust, to have hope, to have faith. And I believe it's the work of the evil one trying to squash and diminish the faith of the believer. But we are made overcomers through our faith in Christ Jesus. What makes us overcomers? Our belief that Jesus Christ has already overcome the world. God has already overcome whatever's happening in Venezuela. God's already overcome whatever terrorist plot was foiled in Dallas or foiled here. God has already overcome your cancer diagnosis, overcome the issue, the condition, the trial that you're having with your family. He's already overcome it. You don't worry. You be happy. You trust that God will bring you into the miracle. If you took whatever you're listening and reading and you opened your Bible to Matthew 24, you wouldn't know where one stops and the other ends unless you were actually looking at the label. Matthew 24 would tell you that Jesus said, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. That means I'm the hope. I'm the truth teller. Be careful when they get on that podcast and they tell you, look, I'm the only one that's telling you the truth. I'm the only one that you can trust. That's an antichrist spirit. They will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars. But the Bible says, don't panic. Right. Yes. That's Jesus' words. This isn't red, y'all. This isn't black ink. This is red ink. Don't panic. Yes, these things are going to take place, but the end doesn't follow immediately. Nation's going to go to war against nation, kingdom against nation. There'll be famines, there'll be earthquakes. But all of this is just, they're just birth pains. There'll be people arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated for my name's sake. And many will turn away and betray and hate each other. There'll be false prophets that will appear and will deceive many people. I know I'm just your evangelist, but can I talk to you about false prophets for a moment? Stop trusting everyone on Facebook that says that they're a prophet. Just because they have Wi-Fi and a camera does not mean that they have the unction of the Holy Ghost. They are scratching itches of things that they think you want to hear. But I pray that God will give the body of Christ a revival of discernment to know what is real and what is fake. Don't trust every false prophet that's rising up and trying to be your guru, be your coach, be your life coach, be your personal prophet. Send me $5 and I'll send you back a word. You might as well go to the fortune teller at the carnival, for that has nothing to do with God. Many will turn away. Sin will be rampant. The love of many will grow cold. But he or she that endures to the end shall be saved. That means the war won't overtake you. The hate won't consume you. Everything that's been prophesied won't come against you. You might have to live through it, but if you'll endure it, you shall be saved. And let me add a little bit to that. Not only will you be saved, but you'll be blessed. You'll be prospered. You'll be counted amongst the righteous. Just hang on. Don't quit. God is working out miracles for you. Trust in God. Trust in God. Every week we get emails and letters that are sent to the ministry of people that are so consumed by fear. I'm not talking to new Christians. I'm talking to the existing Christians. Where did your faith go? Where did that belief in it? When we were, I must be getting old, because I don't think I've ever said, when we were yet babes in Christ. God can't say that wearing blue jeans behind the pulpit. Let me put on my suit and I'll come back and say that. When we were young in the Lord, we had wild faith. My stepson was at a youth convention over this past weekend, and my other son calls me at like 2 a.m. I'm dead asleep, but you call me at 2 a.m. You know, I don't practice what I preach. I wake up, I'm like, oh, everything's good. I wake up, oh my God, what's wrong? It's like, Dad, calm down. Nothing's wrong. Look at what Mylan's doing. They send me a video. They're out there at I don't know what restaurant they're at. 1 a.m, evangelize, I guess, the waiter. And next thing you know, they're putting them into the fountain in the middle of a park, getting them baptized at 1 a.m. Hallelujah. Do you remember when you had that kind of faith? Do you remember when you believed that even the waiters at Waffle House could be saved? Do you remember when there was nothing too hard for God? It's my assignment today to stir up that gift on the inside of you, to tell you that the same God that used to heal is still healing today. The same God that did miracles for you yesterday still wants to do miracles today. And you're entering into a season of the supernatural visitation of God, where he wants to do incredible things, stupendous things, things that leave you awestruck, things that leave you with your jaw just hanging open. And all you have to do is believe and trust in God. The word of the Lord to Life Church today is, don't worry, be happy. Somebody praise the Lord. Oh yes, it's easier to preach it than to live it. What do you think I do when trouble comes? I do what you do. I hem and haw and roll around in the bed. Oh, my God. I sing that old church hymn. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. It's only me, Lord. I'm the only one that goes through things. And then I got to say, wait a second. If it was 85, I'd have to buy my own tape. Lord, I need to remember. What did I preach to Life Church last Sunday? I have to practice what I preach. And I have to think myself happy. I have to encourage myself. Well, how do you do that? Who is your life coach? Jesus. I go to the Word. And the Word says that the weak can say they're strong, that the poor can say they're rich. I go to the Word, and the Word lets me know that he that began the good work in me will complete it, will perfect it before the day of Christ Jesus. And I just come to prophesy over all 903 of you. Don't worry, be happy, because miracles and abundance and blessings and healing and houses and money and joy is on the way. All that stuff you've been listening to, it's affecting your faith. Just turn it off. I'm not talking about living in an ignorant world. I'm not saying you don't need to know what's going on, but stop all the opinions of man, all the opinions of women are infiltrating, and they're taking hold of what's precious to God, which is our faith. We're letting men and women cause our brain to decide whether we can be blessed in this economy. We're causing men and women we're allowing men and women to make up our minds for us about whether this is a good season or this is a bad season. If God's in control, every season is good in Christ. And to you that are new in the faith, I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm so thankful that Christ pulled you into the family. But I want you to know that there's something beyond just the theology and the doctrines of Christ. There's something beyond this just being a good roadmap to how you raise your children or the boundaries of your marriage, or just there's some things about Christianity that I just think they're good, the way I manage my finances or the way I approach problems. All those things are in there, but I want you to know that there is another realm. It's the realm of the supernatural, and I want the supernatural to become commonplace again. I want the supernatural to become commonplace to you again, where you go to the doctor and you go to prayer, where you go to the counselor and you go to the Holy Ghost, where you get a little Bitcoin and you tithe. Come on, somebody. Where you talk to somebody, but you talk more to Jesus. People that believe that with God, all things are possible. Well, how do you get there, preacher? Because I've heard, and I understand that the supernatural is controversial for some, but I want you to know it's a real thing. It's a real realm in the kingdom. The scripture that we read at the beginning in the book of John chapter 14, he said, don't worry, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about anything. Trust in my Father, trust in me. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions, says the King James Version. The New Living Translation says there's many rooms in my Father's house. See, every time you think that you've gotten to the place where you know everything that's on the menu, God says, I got a secret menu. I got more. Let me show you what we got in this room over here. Just when you thought that salvation was enough, he said, listen, I got prosperity and abundance in the other room. Just when you thought peace was enough, he said, I also got joy and happiness in the other room. Just when you thought just living for Christ was enough, he said, I got healing and long life on the other side. He has more than you could ever imagine. He has more than what you can make room for. And that's what I'm here to provoke your faith for. That I want you to start discovering everything that God has. I want you to start walking around your Father's house like my little nieces were walking around my mother-in-law's house on Christmas this week. In our family, we got four sets of grandparents because my wife and I both lost our first spouses to cancer. So we do our holidays a little different. At Thanksgiving, my three original kids and I, we go to their mother's house. We go to the Bembry's house and we do Thanksgiving on Thursday, and then we wake up and it's Christmas morning on that Friday. So I've already, listen, y'all, I'm back from the future. Christmas is going to be great this year. I'm telling you, Christmas is going to be spectacular. The weather, beautiful. And so I've already had Thanksgiving and Christmas. Gina has done the same with her two original kids with their father's side of the family. And so I'm already like in the Christmas spirit because I got these two little nieces of mine. I mean, cute as cute can be. Haven't seen anything cuter since my daughter was born. Hallelujah. In case my daughter's watching, you know, gets a little weird about that. Be like, Dad, I thought I was the favorite. You still are. But those little girls have me wrapped around their finger. They provoke me to want to do stuff for them. When I see that little smile and their little blonde hair covering their eye, and I walk in the room and, hi, Unky Tony. I'm like, oh, Lord. I need to walk around with the catcher because I'll fall out right at Thanksgiving. And that little niece of mine came up and she said, Unky Tony. Like, yes. She said, I know who the real Santa Claus is. I said, who? She said, Unky Tony. I'm like, girl, what do you want? A pony, a castle? What do you want, girl? She provokes me. I had already brought gifts from Tennessee. And when she said that to me, I went back to the store on Wednesday and bought more. I brought those two little girls so many gifts. My sister-in-law couldn't take half of the stuff home with her. My poor brother-in-law and I aren't even speaking to each other right now. He's like, we didn't need it. I'm like, you didn't need it, but those girls needed it. They provoke me to want to do extra. I told Michael when we were at the store, I'm like, of everything we bought, they're probably not even going to remember everything that we gave them. And that was about it. Of everything I got, there's probably two things that they were playing with. But when they left, my Lord, did they leave with a haul of stuff. I want you to know, I believe that's how it's going to be in this season between you and your Heavenly Father. When you come and say, God, I know who the healer is. I know who the waymaker is. I know who my provider is. You are going to provoke heaven to move on your behalf, and you better get ready for an overabundance of miracles and supernatural encounters that will have to be the handiwork of the Lord. So don't worry. Be happy. Be happy. When the report comes. But that preacher said I'm going to get a miracle. Well, every preacher cliche would tell you, you get a mess before you get the miracle. And you get a test before you get a testimony. But you just hang on. Don't fret. Be happy. Get ready. Ooh, what's the Lord cooking up now? How do you get that kind of faith? You just have to walk with him. Because you'll start seeing things, and it will provoke you to believe for more. It's just, I didn't just get this way because I just decided, oh, this is it. It's what I've seen. I grew up this way. It was normal to see the supernatural. It was normal to see miracles. It was normal to see people get healed in regular services with 903 people. Y'all are so blessed. It was normal in the middle of a service for my dad to go lay hands and pray for somebody and for them to get instantly healed and him come up and finish the service like nothing just happened. Like, oh, you're healed. Great. Sit down. He was a wild man. He'd walk up and down the aisles. He could discern who was a first-time guest. Y'all ought to be thankful. My dad's not the pastor of the 903 member Life Church of Richmond, Mechanicsville. My dad would walk through the aisles. He'd walk up to somebody. Hello. Are you on your way to heaven or hell? My God. How about hi? Hello, my name is? I mean, just he went. He had a knack about him. He could walk up to someone and just start talking to them in the middle of the sermon. and say, you need to be baptized. I remember the man that said, I want to be baptized, but I just can't quit smoking. My dad said, if you could quit on your own, you would have already done it. He said, why don't you come bring your cigarettes to the baptistry and see what the Lord will do. And I remember in the service, my dad brought him, walked him up in his clothes, brought him up to the baptistry. My mother's just, oh God. Because my dad would get in the water with him in his suit. And then get out and keep preaching with the water dripping off the suit. My father took that man, brought him in, and in the baptistry asked him, did you bring your cigarettes? Man said, no. My dad said, go get him. He's a wild man. Go get him. You're going to be baptized with him. And my dad baptized the man and the pack of cigarettes. And when the man came out of the water, his testimony, he never smoked another one again. That's how I was raised. That one miracle moment with God will do what the patch can't do, what therapy can't do. I know. See, it's hard for some people to believe that. You say, I don't know. See, I've been trying to get off that vape for 3 years. I don't know. Get baptized with your vape. I dare you. And watch what God might do. My God, I brought false doctrine. Now you understand why they can't bring me back till a few months down the road. Got to clean it up. Watch what God can do in a miracle moment. Oh, you're preaching all that false hope. You don't know my money. I don't know your money, but I know his. And he doesn't know recessions. He doesn't know a down economy. Oh, you're preaching about everyone else's family. You don't know my family. Who convinced you to believe the lie that your trauma is any more traumatic than anyone else's trauma, or that your dysfunction is somehow dysfunction on steroids? Many are they that have come to the Lord with trauma and dysfunction, but when they lay it in the master's hand like clay, and say, I trust you with a miracle. He'll mold it. He'll shape it. He still does that in 25, y'all. And he still heals. He still does miracles of healing. It's my desire to see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ full, not just of people, but of faith in the supernatural. It doesn't have to be weird. But it also isn't going to be so common that you can explain it like arithmetic. It does take faith. It does take stepping into a place that you've never been before, perhaps, in the natural. But it's in that place that God does what only he can do. And I've seen too much to not trust it now. I close with this testimony. November the 24th, 1988, is when God baptized me in the Holy Ghost. I'd been seeking the baptism, and I remember it was an all-night prayer service before Thanksgiving. My mother was on one side, my Sunday school teacher on the other side, when the Holy Ghost came on me. I was aware of what was happening to me. And, you know, back then they tell you you're not supposed to open your eyes when you pray. But I was so excited. I opened my eyes and I looked for my dad. I couldn't speak English, couldn't speak Spanish, started speaking in other tongues. My dad came running. He was playing the electric guitar, came running to where I was. And we had a Holy Ghost hoedown, all of us there together. Now, I was only 8 years old. And I wanted to be water baptized. And the rule in our church growing up was that you couldn't be water baptized if you didn't have the Holy Ghost as a kid. If you were, you know, 8 years old. And so now that I had the Holy Ghost, I knew my dad could baptize me. I was so excited. I get to put my name on the list. And my dad had a car accident, severely injured his back, was in the hospital for several weeks. When they released him, they said, it's going to take a long stint of rehab. We don't really fully understand what all will happen to your back. And my dad was a preacher before he was anything else. He's like, well, can I baptize people? And they said, you mean like... He's like, no, I dunk them. No dunking for you right now unless it's, you know, donuts. You're not going to be dunking people right now. And so my dad, he was in a lot of pain. I can still remember. I can actually still see it. He, at home, he just, you know, walk like this, but he'd put this brace on that they gave him. And by the time he'd go to church, he looked like he was Superman. but he's in a lot of pain. And there was a young lady that had joined the church, and they had found a diagnosis of stage 4 breast cancer. And my dad told her, God's going to heal you. I just know that God's going to heal you. And I can still remember the service. I played the keyboard when I was a little kid in church. I was over by the piano. When the power of God came on my dad, and he called that young lady out, he said, come forward. He said, today's the day God's going to heal you. My father laid his hand on her. Now, we were a wild Pentecostal church, okay? If you're new and you think this is wild, just wait till you meet our crazy cousins. Amen. Oh, we were wild. We were wild people. I don't want to scare anybody, but it was a little wild. And all that exuberance and the jumping and the dancing and the clapping and the running of the eyes, all that, that was normal for us. Being slain in the spirit was not something that was very common at the time. We saw it every now and then, but it was a rare occurrence, I'll put it that way. When my father called for that young lady to come forward, when he laid his hand on her head, I was standing at the piano. It's like something picked my father up and threw him back. Something picked her up and threw her back. I mean, I had not seen anything like it. He went that way, she went that way. It was like there was this electricity just. And my father laid on the ground in a drunken stupor. It was a holy moment. I still remember being in that service. And when my dad stood up, he stood up and he. And he looked at me, he said, start singing. And he walked out to the side room. Took his shirt off, took that brace off, did whatever he needed to do to check himself, put that shirt back on, walked into the service and chucked that back brace over the people, started bending over, started running around. He was in an instant completely healed by the power of God in front of our congregation. There was no preaching that day because people just started getting touched by the Lord. I mean, and it was like that for several weeks. And I remember my dad telling that young lady, he said, God, the same God that healed me, I know he's going to heal you. You're going to come back with the report and it will be confirmed. And it was just a few weeks later. Back in those days, we'd worship the Lord and wave our hankies. That lady walked in waving a manila envelope, walked into a service waving the manila envelope. She said, I got it. I got it. Here's the confirmation. And she brought it to my father. And the doctor said, it was there, but it's not there anymore. And here is the proof that it's no longer there. I believe that's what God's going to do in Life Church in this next season. So the doctor's going to tell you it's there, and then he's going to have to take it back. The court's going to say that's not possible, and then the judge is going to have to take back his words. The bank is going to say, no, I can't do that. And then the bank is going to have to eat its word, because with God, all things are possible. Your child will say they don't want anything to do with your God, but then you'll find them in a sinner's altar, giving their life to God, getting water baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, because there's nothing too hard for God. Don't worry. That's the word of the Lord. Don't worry. Be happy. Not only did God heal my dad, not only did God heal that lady, but she had a brother who was in the hospital dying of AIDS. For those of you that were alive in that era, you know that in the 80s that was an automatic death sentence. He heard what God did for his sister. He had never lived for the Lord. But he told his sister, I want to serve the Lord that healed my sister. I want to give my life to that kind of a God. That was his prayer request. So they sent for my father. My dad went to visit this man in the hospital. And he expressed that to my dad. He said, I only have days, 4 or 5 days at the most. But I don't want to leave this earth without knowing the Lord that healed my sister. And so my father expressed and explained to him what my dad, you know, what we believed, and my dad explained, in your condition, I don't know how this is possible, but The Bible says that he that believeth and is baptized, and there's, I mean, he's 4 days away from a grave. And the man told my dad, I really wish I could be water baptized. I asked the doctor if I could be baptized. But the doctor said that if I get in the water, I'll die. And my dad said, you will. Because when you're baptized, you're buried with Christ. The old man passes away, but behold, all things are made new. Ooh, I feel like there's someone in this room that needs to die with Christ, maybe as soon as today. And that addiction needs to be buried, and that rebellion needs to be buried, and those old things need to be buried, and you need to come out a new creature in Christ. Listen, not only can you die today, you can resurrect a new man or a new woman in Christ Jesus. That kind of miracle is available in the room. He'll take away years of drug addiction, years of abuse, years of trauma. One miracle moment in this watery grave, and you'll be changed forevermore. You don't believe it? Try it and see what God will do. I'm talking to the down and destitute. I have nothing. I don't have a house. I don't have a family. Took my kids away. I don't know my marriage anymore. I don't know what money is. I surely don't know what freedom is like. I dare you to give God a try. Step into a realm of the supernatural. If counseling hasn't fixed it and the courts haven't fixed it, watch what God can do. When that man heard my father's explanation on water baptism, he said, that's how I want to die. Now, I'm not getting into some weird stuff. No, there's no assisted suicides here. There's a little Jack Kevorkian right now, a little 90s reference for someone in the room. So I was like, Lord, my God. What kind of strange doctrine Suarez get into over Thanksgiving? Maybe don't make him two kinds of potatoes next time, mother-in-law. That man got a hold of the doctor, and he said, this is my new pastor. I want him to baptize me. And the doctor said, you'll die. He said, that's what I understand. They made that man and my father sign so many legal documents, more legal documents than you've ever signed in your life. Hallelujah. They did everything to avoid every lawsuit, everything, because they were sure that someone was getting sued and they're going to make sure it wasn't him. The man argued. He said, if my time is short, if I'm going to die, then let me die the way I want to die. I want to die with Christ. And so after a lot of negotiations, they allowed that man to come to our church on an early weekday afternoon. Now, I didn't get to miss a lot of school growing up. Never got to miss school for sickness. My parents would pray that sickness out of me. I could have a fever of 103 degrees and see pink ponies with wings flying. And my parents would be like, nope, you're going to school. Fever, I break you in Jesus' name. And that thing would hit 98.6 30 minutes before I had to go to school. COVID could have never existed, my parents' prayers in the 80s. I didn't get to miss a lot of days, Bishop. I miss Halloween because we were very anti-Halloween growing up. So I couldn't even go to school on Halloween. That's the one day. And then this day. This particular day. Because we could miss school for a revival. And so I was there. I can tell you this story is true because I was there, standing by my dad's side at that baptistry. When they brought that man, the ambulance pulled up to the front door of the church, and they brought the man, they brought the family, they brought doctors, they brought nurses, they brought administration from the hospital, and they brought law enforcement. They're going to have all the witnesses they need for when this thing went to court. Hallelujah. He weighed about 86 pounds. And they brought him in his wheelchair, and two men picked him up in his chair and put him over the wall right into the baptistry. And he was so light, he started floating away. They had to put their hands on his shoulders to hold him down. And my father stood in front of him and said, sir, upon the confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may you be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. When my father lifted him out of the water, two things happened. God saved his soul, but God began to heal his body. We had to carry him into the baptistry, but when he came out of the water, he stood up for the very first time in a long time. We carried him in. He walked himself out in the presence of the doctors, the administration, the lawyers, and the family. I prophesy to you in the, man, I feel so much anointing right now. I prophesy to you that what God's about to do is going to be a public miracle in the presence of those that opposed you, in the presence of those that said it was impossible, in the presence of doctors and lawyers, yea, even law enforcement. I see someone standing in front of a judge, and the judge says, I never thought this was possible. And your reply will be, Your Honor, with God, all things are possible. I'm prophesying that God's going to take what looked like it was dead and over, and he's going to resurrect it again. What looked like there was no solution, no hope. God says, give me a chance. You've given everything else a chance. Watch what I can do. Give him praise in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That man walked out of the baptistry, and that was the end of that story. God healed his body. He gained 80 pounds in about 3 months. And every Sunday, you could see him at my dad's church on the front row with a yellow tambourine, worshiping and praising God, completely healed by the power of God. That's why I am the way I am, because I know what he did with HIV AIDS, and I know what he did with stage 4 cancer, and I know what he did with my father. Why would you think that he can't do it for you? Would you stand with me in this house today? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm looking for the supernatural. I'm looking for what only you can do. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm looking and I expect it. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Morton Bestard, who's preached in this pulpit, behind this pulpit before, huge influence on my life, my mentor, my prophet, taught me two rules of ministry. Number one, you don't jazz up Jesus. He's already the greatest thing there is. You don't have to exaggerate. Number two, he said, always remember Jesus is a gentleman. He will never embarrass you. If you're going to be used of God, then God must get the glory. It's never about you. It's about him. And in the spirit of him being a gentleman, I was very cautious in the 9 a.m. service not to have an altar call, because there's people in the room dealing with private conditions and situations that if they were to come forward, then people say, oh, I knew something was going on. I don't know what, but I knew it. So to avoid that, I'm not calling you forward yet. I didn't hear it in the 9 a.m. service. I heard it in this service. I stood right here and family reunification. I don't know. I believe it's for more than one. It's almost like a cluster. Family reunification. It would take the hand of God. But that's what his hands do. That's what his hands do. Get ready to see God move. Get ready to see God move on your behalf. Pastor Baby talked about that miracle house of his. That's not the last miracle house that you're going to hear about at Life Church. God is going to provide for his children. God is going to make ways for his children. The word of the Lord came in the first service to tell Life Church to get ready for expansion. And as I prayed for you and as the Lord was prophesying, I didn't see hard hats. I didn't see construction. I believe there are things already made that the Lord is bringing into your possession. You might have to renovate it. I mean, you might have to put your touch on it. But I don't see something that you're having to build all the way from the ground up. I believe the Lord would remind you that he has buildings for you that you did not build and vineyards for you that you did not plant. This will be a season of expansion. But this won't be a tiresome expansion. This will be, it'll be a strange expansion because you'll say, man, I've never had this much peace at the time of expansion at the same time. That's what I believe he'll do over this church. But I want the families of this church to start expecting, start looking for miracles. Make room for the supernatural. To the young Christian in the room that's young in their walk with God, you say, well, I hear you. I want to step into that. How do I get in further? I'm not going to recommend a podcast. I'm going to recommend prayer. I'm going to recommend that you get on your knees or sit in a chair and make some time every day where you talk to the Lord and listen. Because if you do all the talking, talk and listen. Pray with some paper and a pen next to you. In case, or your app. I guess no one writes anymore. It's just me and the Egyptians doing hieroglyphics over here. But just whatever you do, have something. Because he may speak and you'll need to make note. He might tell you where to invest. He might tell you where to quit. He told someone last week, don't move. In prayer, as you talk to the Lord, it's not just you laying out to God what you need, but there's something that happens in prayer. There's a deposit that comes from heaven that builds up what the Bible calls your most holy faith. You'll come out of prayer stronger, more confident, happier. You'll come out without anxiety. You'll go in anxious. You'll come out. Become a person of prayer. Make time every day. I was dealing with this situation just a few months ago. I was preaching up in Maine. And they sent a man to pick me up. His name's Brother Dalton. I think the world of Brother Dalton. Brother Dalton's 93 years old. Brother Dalton still flies airplanes at 93 years old. He's a pilot. And they don't believe that he can still fly a plane, so he has to go and get recertified every year. All the other pilots, every few years, that he said, and he laughs, he says, oh, Brother Tony, you should see the rigorous testing I have to be put through. Ha, 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 ha. And I pass it with flying colors. Brother Dalton is who I want to be when I'm 93 years old. I mean, flying airplanes, driving the fanciest Lincoln I've ever seen. I mean, Brother Dalton is like my Michael Jordan. And he picked me up. Maine is an interesting state. If we were in an airplane, it'd be 3 minutes from the hotel to the church. But because of all the winding roads, it takes 42 minutes. So I got 42 minutes uninterrupted in that beautiful Lincoln with Brother Dalton. And Brother Dalton says, Brother Tony, I don't know why I feel to tell you this. He starts telling me about something that happened to him in his mid-40s. Number one salesman in all of the country for this particular company. And I had this, and I had this, and I had this, and all the, and he started telling me something that happened to him. And he said, Brother Tony, do you know when I got weary, when I just felt, do you know what I did to come out of it? I said, tell me. I'm interested. He said, I made a commitment to the Lord. Every day, I'll have an appointment with you for 1 hour. I said, and you've been doing that since you were 45? He said, I sure have every day. I haven't. I said, what time? He said, it varies. But every day I have an appointment with God. and I talked to the Lord. Well, I was kind of going through some things when I was in that car with Brother Dalton, just between you and me, since no one else is listening. I was kind of going through some stuff, and I'm a crier. The older I get, the easier I cry. And so Brother Dalton's talking, and I'm over here on the side of the Lincoln. Found my hanky, you see. I'm such a crier, I got to have the hanky. I'm like, Brother Dalton, I'm 45. He's like, he looks over at me. He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, I'm 45. I said, man, I've had a year. And I just started, I was about to tell him, and he waved his hand. He goes, brother, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. And I got so, it made me laugh so much because I don't think it's that he didn't want to hear me. He just knows that he doesn't have any answers for me. But there is one seated on the throne who knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. He knows what you need. And in this season, I'm encouraging you, make prayer a priority. And every time you think you don't have it and you're going to go talk to someone, may you see a vision of Brother Dalton. Take it to the Lord, brother. Take it to the Lord, sister. And watch what God can do. I feel the gift of healing and the working of miracles is in this room in a very strong way. And I cannot leave without praying for you. If you need physical healing in your body, and you're able to come to this altar, willing to come to this altar. At the count of three, I'm waiting for you here. I feel that the healing power of God is in this room. I see blood conditions specifically that God wants to touch in the next few moments. That's not the only thing he's going to touch, but I see blood conditions that the Lord is healing. One, two, three. Would you come now? Would you come now? Would you come now? Hallelujah. Satana Roshia. These pastors are going to walk down this aisle and they're going to start anointing all of you with oil. And I'm going to pray the prayer of faith with them over you. I'll lay hands on everyone that comes to this altar. God wants to touch you. God wants to make you whole. I just heard the Lord say someone that had a hunting accident, the Lord wants to heal you in this altar today. If you need to be set free from something, it's private, it's between you and the Lord, but hallelujah, I'm believing someone can have faith today like that Roman centurion. You have a child at home that's ill, a child at home that's addicted, but will come with the faith of the Roman centurion before the Lord, and we say, Lord, just send the word, and I know my son, my daughter will be healed. I know my son, my daughter will be set free. In the name of Jesus, receive your miracle, receive your healing.
Something comes out of the grave. dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of. I call you Jesus. I call you. I call you healer, risen and ready in power. Something comes out of the grave every time I call you Jesus. I call you. I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out.
Now, in this atmosphere of faith, I speak to blood conditions. I command them to be healed. Livers, kidneys, hearts, and other organs, be healed by the power of God. I speak to the barren womb of a woman, a man and a woman, husband and a wife, desiring of children. It's not been their reality. I speak and I say life, and life more abundantly. Miracle baby showers in 2026. Miracle children in the name of Jesus. And yet, even as I call that out, Lord, I saw it. I stepped here and I saw the legal proceedings for a child. This one is not a natural birth, but this one is an adoptive birth. This is something being birthed because of legal system. And Lord, it's been held up. But in 2026, let this finally be over. Let the adoption be completed. May the family be together. And I say, let it be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. Hallelujah. never been water baptized, and maybe a lot of life has happened to you since you were baptized. Maybe you were a kid. Maybe you just got in the water because everyone else was getting in the water. Maybe you were a child. But you know that baptism is the obedience of a heart that surrenders to Christ. Your parents can't choose this for you. You got to choose it. But if today God's moving on your heart, you say, "Preacher, I want to be baptized. This isn't like my dad's church in the 80s. They got clothes for you in the back. They got t-shirts and stuff. That water is like a jacuzzi over there." If you've never been baptized, or God's calling you to be rebaptized, and you say, "Preacher, that's me. I need to be baptized today." If that's you, would you raise your hand? I see a hand there. There's one. There's two in the back. Is there someone else? I'm waiting for you. I see you over there. God bless you. There's three. There's four. God, hallelujah. There's five. Hallelujah. Is there someone else? If you got your hand up for baptism, wave it at me so I know it's you. I saw that young man there. That's one. There's two. There's at least five that I saw raise their hand. Now, let me check. I don't know that. I don't know that it could get any warmer than it is right now. Of the five that raised their hand, if you say, "Today's the day, I'm getting baptized today," if that's you, then when I count to three, I want you to join me on this platform. One, two, three. Come now. If you're coming, come on, come on. God bless you. Hallelujah. There's one. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to. Is it both of you? One, two, three, four. Is there anybody else coming? Hallelujah. 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 Listen, evangelists are like fishermen. I sit here till they're taking her picture. Hallelujah. Is there someone else coming? If you're coming, let me know. We already caught four. Oh, you're him too? Oh, they're some of them ain't even coming. They're just going right to they got the fast pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's extra. I don't know. How many went back? Three? Four? My God, we might be having a little revival. We might be having a little Thanksgiving revival. One, two, three, four, five, four. There's nine people, hallelujah, that are going to a watery grave. And when they come up, they're coming up a new crate. I think you ought to celebrate. Hallelujah. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things. Haven't gotten in the line for baptism, I want you to know that there's no cutoff. You walk at any time and they'll welcome you to the back room. And one thing I love about this church is they've never been good at counting. Hallelujah. They think there's nine. It could end up being 13 by the time we're over. So that's what I love about revival. Now, while those that are being water baptized are getting ready, I did really feel that we need to pray some of these houses into existence and some of these business deals into existence. I feel I don't know, and again, every service is different, but there's investors and there's business owners in the room, and you really need direction from the Lord. There's too many forecasts out there. It's interesting to me that word forecast is the same word that they'll use for a psychic like they will a weatherman or a weatherwoman. You've been being led by these forecasts. You don't need a forecast. You need the word of the Lord to know where to plant that seed, where to put that investment, what to do with that business. So Lord, I pray for those business-minded men and women first. I pray that the wisdom of God would come to these men and women, and they would know what's next. They would know what to avoid. They would know where to sow. They would know where to grow. They would know what investment to pull and what to and where to put it next. I pray, Lord, that when they put the money there, I pray that they'll be blessed abundantly. Seed time and harvest be their portion. I pray, Lord, for those that are seeking employment, let this be a miracle month of jobs and better jobs. I pray for permanent housing. Lord, I thank you that you are answering the prayers in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's celebrate God. Hallelujah.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.